accession number 11038, reel 5.
Mr. Bill Towers, reel 5. We were talking about your time at Epes and about letters, and you were telling me about what they'd write to you about when we were cut off. What would they put in their letters?
Well, it was more about... it was a funny thing because you couldn't always tell them what they wanted to know because it was censored. They'd black it out if you put it in and they'd warn you then not to do it again. So you had to try and just talk, say any general thing about your health and all like that.
And what would they write to you? They'd ask questions?
Yes, they'd ask questions which you couldn't answer, you see.
And how many people wrote to you? I mean...
Oh, dear, just my family, my sister and that. And that's all.
And was it important for you to receive letters?
Oh, gosh, yes, you looked... I remember at Ypres I got a letter. We were in trouble at Ypres, there was trouble. I was at Wagon Lane, and we had to stamp too. We got the houses all harnessed up and that, all of their heads, and we were instructed to get the horses away to start it shelling and that. And postman came up and he brought a letter. He shouted to me, "There's a letter for you here." And I opened it, holding my horses like this. Now, and there's a matchbox inside. I thought, "What, that's funny." And I opened it, cotton wool and a ring in, a signet ring with my initials on, 21st birthday party. And stuck to him, and I thought, "My God, 21st birthday." And we stood here waiting, a jury bashing us.
That being 1917?
1917.
Right, now, from Ypres, where did you go from Ypres?
I think we went to Somme from Ypres.
That's what it says
yes,
on the thing,
yes? Went to Somme.
And what do you remember about the Somme?
Oh, well, it was... do you mean the actual 21st... First of June, July.
Were you part of the opening bombardment?
Yes, our battery was, but I wasn't.
Wow.
I was back in line, I wasn't in this. See, going up, which was the worst job, so taking supplies up, that was the worst job. So I was one of them taking supplies
up. You were on half and half this
yes,
job, weren't
you? Yes,
but you were... throughout the whole bombardment, you were on the wagons?
Wagons, yes.
What was the noise like?
Oh. Terrific, and it was night time and it was daylight with the flashes, one continuous flash. You could see everywhere. Beautiful. It was a sight to be seen when you went up, when you were going up, and you knew you were going up and the shells coming over. Then, but you had to go and take them the rations and supplies. And no, that was the worst job of all, I think.
Were you confident that the bombardment would clear the way for the British?
Oh, no. We never knew what had happened, actually, so till it was over. And then it was only by rumour. You didn't get to know what had done.
So you didn't know this was the big push?
No, we didn't know. We knew we were in this here. We knew there was something coming up. But it didn't tell you anything. The ordinary workmen didn't get to know anything. You do as you're told, and that's it. If you ask questions, sergeants say, mums they say, you do as you're told, that's all there is to it. No. And they always treated us as kids, youngsters, to be seen and not heard, because they were all...
Who do you mean all? Do you mean
all the staff, everybody. They were all married men and that. We were only young lads.
So that's all the layers of command above you?
Yes, aye. Everybody above us thought we were young lads.
Now, how did you feel about that?
I felt rotten. We'd do it same job, and that, but you couldn't do what about it. I found out you only got this with these local batteries. They've stopped it now. I understand they had it in other districts. Besides, they had their own pet. They were always in little villages. These batteries in territorials. And they were clannish, they didn't like outsiders. You were called foreigners all the time. And that, it acted right down throughout the ranks. You got the... I wouldn't say officers did it. But the sergeants and major and all that, them and corporals did it. They were all interrelated.
Do you remember any stories from your time when you were on the... to illustrate what life was like while you were on the Somme?
No, no. It was every day was alike. But
sometimes you'd be on the guns, sometimes
yes,
not.
No, never won some guns. Don't know
so
why.
For quite a few months?
Yes,
the
I. The wagon lines. I spent more of my time on wagon lines. That. But the Bramley men were all on guns. That. But that was it. You couldn't do aught about it. And so that's it. We carried on. And we just carried on and didn't... If we're doing something... I found out why when you're doing something, you're never worried. Took your mind off it. It was saying when you was at the guns, when you're firing, you didn't bother about them firing back at you. You never get a second thought.
What was the quality of the horses like?
Oh, they were good horses.
Good quality?
Oh, then. Yes, very good quality horses.
And where did they come from?
Canada, most of them. Remounts from Canada, half broken there was some of them when we got them in York and Hull.
But they were broken by
the... Yes, by the time we got them. By the time we went to France, and they got used to it. But I remember going to... We'd lost one or two horses. We had to go down to a base for remounts. I was detailed. They didn't know it was a nice job, so they sent me out.
When was this?
Oh, God, I don't know. I couldn't tell you the date.
Roughly. Was it what front were you on?
I don't know where the devil were. Oh, I think we'd passed some after that. No. Might have been on some, one part of some.
And but what happened then? What was the... You had to go back?
We had to go down for remounts. So you took a saddle in what you get bags of oats. Get empty bag of oats, get a saddle, bridle and that, and your kit and that, what you wanted. And we went down by wagon to a railhead. And from the railhead we went down to Boulogne. We thought, oh, we're going to have a lovely time in Boulogne. So it was only about half a dozen of us. So we agreed to go see the officer, see if we could have his wages, which was 5 francs. We got told, you get no money, you aren't going on holiday. So we hadn't a penny between us. I went to Boulogne, and it was the first time we'd seen American troops. They were having time of life. It was a seaside place on the beach. There, it was lovely. God, thought we're being up there suffering like that, and they're enjoying it down there. But we couldn't have a drink. We hadn't a penny among us, so we'd walk around. Anyway, we also had an advance party with us that went on in front the day before. And when you went to this here remount depot, they were all horses that had been wounded and they'd been there to patch up. And a veterinary surgeon marched us in and he said, you take that pair. And on the altar, there was a label and it told you the character of the horse. This horse will not be ridden. And this horse is so and so and so. So you had to saddle up and take a pair and go set off at morning up the line again. Anyway, went up this particular time, we couldn't be riding for a while, pulled into a field and our advance party were there and they got us a meal ready. And that was it, and we put up for the evening. And that was it, so I thought, they're lovely, this is a nice job, is this. And that evening out, but with no money, we couldn't go to Estaminet, and that we couldn't have a drink. So we just had to walk around and back to camp. Then in the morning we had breakfast, and we came out, and this one horse had been causing a lot of trouble. So I thought, I'll ride that, because when you've got a horse causing trouble, you can't control it. You only have its head, and it's running around anyway. So I thought, I'll saddle that one up this time and got on. And when we got out of the field, the roads are funny roads, are cobbled in the middle, and then mud side. But this one had a stream down here, broad stream, about from here to the wall there.
About 5 or 6 foot?
I don't, wide, yes. Anyway, we came out and filed out here, and this horse that wouldn't be ridden, I'd petted it and made a fuss of it, and it was nice when I got on. I thought, oh, he's doing well. Anyway, stood there ready to march off, and a motor wagon came up. And as soon as it saw it, it gave one jump sideways, knocked this other horse straight into the stream. I couldn't believe me. I just went up to it in water, and I'm holding it, shouting, come on, give me a hand.
Up to his neck?
Yes. And eventually, they come with a long rope, and they put it round its head, like that, and tied it in a knot through its mouth, and connected it to two horses, and to drag it out like that. Poor Tickstro going to drown. And I didn't leave go of it till they get hold of it. And that, anyway, eventually got it out. And oh, this horse gave me a ride. And I remember we went through Lille. It's a big square, this centre of Lille. And we'd cross right over corner. And I was pretty near front with these two. And this horse, when it got there, it started turning round. It wouldn't go. I could stick my spurs into it and it would not go up there. Sergeant in charge said, get to the back towers and go round. So they went across, I had to go round. And go. Eventually, I had to get up and lead it. And it went then. And then when I got out, I gone. It had been wounded and knew where it was going. It had recognised something, that horse. It led me a real dance after that. Eventually we got it there, home.
And what use would a horse like that be in the,
It'd have to be used. It'd be broken, you know. Because if you were to place in wagon lines and remounts, you always, if you'd have to know enough, go and say, there's a horse here, it won't be ridden. Right. We'll go get it out and saddle it. Put saddle on and get on. Would make it till it would be ridden. That was your bit of relaxation. That.
Could you describe the wagon lines? I mean, a typical wagon line, what would it be like?
Wagon line, well, the gun limbers are there for a start, barring one. There'd be a proper gun. There's a gun limber that's on the gun, that up with the gun. But the other two, it's a box here. There's four wheels and they're connected with a rod and another box thing here, and they were full of shells, and that a six horse team used to drive. Well, he used to park them all side by side, all of them from all subsections and that, and then the wagon lines was a rope post braid in and the horses tied to this rope all the way on, and that was the wagon line.
And about how many horses? Just one rope?
There were perhaps two, there were posts, one short one, then post and another rope. And each subsection had a rope, you see. There were four subsections and that. And there'd be six, how many? Six. About 9 to 10 horses to each subsection.
And that you'd be looking after them with the driver?
Yes, but with the driver, unless they put on a corporal's horse, look after his horse, or sergeant's.
And these horses were just out in the open?
All in the open, just all the time.
What were they fed?
Fed with oats and hay. We used to get £80 bags of oats. And that was another job we got. We had to go to the railhead, which was a mile or two back, and the train come up with trucks. And there was a staff on, and they'd unload all the stuff onto the roadside. The meat was there, the bread there, and the bacon, if there was any bacon there, the vegetables and that, and all like that. And he had it weighed a book, and he knew how many, each battery, how many people they had, and how many to cater for, and that. And then when you got up, you go out with two wagons, and I was on, went on to the, with the ration wagon. The other chap went on with the horse fodder, and it pull up. But sometimes, Jerry strapped that railhead, and that would cause panic. And then we'd have to go earlier, so that when the train come up, they stop strapping. Train would come in, and we'd to rush and empty it as quick as we could, before they start strapping again. Of course, I got always got Ron Bramley, if I was always got that job, and we'd unload it and think on. You carry sides of beef. If you've ever been tight carrying a side of beef, you've never carried them before. They're terrible. A quarter and like that. On your back, over rough country, and plank to get over a stream. There's always a stream at side. Then you carry it all across this plank and take it round there, dump it to a butcher, and he'd cut it up into chunks. That for each battery.
So you'd be getting all the supplies for the battery?
Yes,
for that. But the horse supplies must have been awfully bulky.
Bulky, the 80-pound bags. So we had to carry them. Oh, you carried them 80s, they were lovely because they're soft. The worst thing we ever had to carry was cheese. And it was a crate like that with two old cheeses
in. A yard across?
Yes, two old cheeses, not them round cheeses. Two of them they weighed. And they were all lats, and they were slack in. And you only had your shirt on, and you had to get that on your shoulder, like that, and carry it across rough land, over the bridge, and that, and it's shaking inside, and it would cut in your shoulder, and that, then drop it down, and they say, don't drop it, and that's it, and they put it down, and you were like Billy over, doing all.
What about the more valuable things like the rum? Were you allowed to help unload them?
No, I think the officers got them. I think they were in a case or something.
So they were specially looked
sealed,
at?
Sealed.
Was there any pilfering you were aware of anything?
Oh God, pilfering, no, it was all pilfering. I remember I'd told Mother of my, it was so muddy and my feet were so, we had boots, buckled boots, and she went and saved up and sent, bought me a pair of rubber boots. Rubber, and they were nice shiny rather. Oh, and everybody admired them, it was all lovely. But I couldn't wear them to ride. So if I put my leather boots on, I had to walk through mud to horse to get on. But I could use them in stalls where we could for that. But that, and when I went out one day, when I come back, they were missing.
Now that's pilfering from within the battery.
Battery, yes.
So there was actual stealing of your personal possessions?
Oh, yes. Oh, God, aye. Well, personal possessions. A fellow had a pair of boots just like them. He said, it's my sister sent me these out. But they wasn't. They were my boots, but I couldn't prove it. And, no, they pinched out. It didn't drop out, leave out, and I said, pinch it.
So they'd actually steal money or things from you?
Well, they never got a chance, because when you got your money, you only got 5 francs a week. And if we had a canteen, which sometimes we had a canteen, was a little place with tarpaulins over. And you could buy, not tins of beer then, it was little bottles of beer. And if you didn't buy it, drink beer. Do you know what the biggest rush was for? Tin of Nestle's milk. Fellas used to buy it and eat it for food. And they went quicker than anything.
Did you eat?
Aye.
What was so popular about it?
It was sustaining, I think. And it was nice to eat. And if you had any cocoa, you could mix cocoa with it, like milk chocolate. And that. But they always had a rush on those. Oh, there was all sorts of damn tricks they did.
So what would they pilfer off each other?
Oh, you left about if they wanted it. Or they left about. And there was, I tell you what, one man used to get nearly all battery money. And he was a chap who run the Crown and Anchor board. Have you ever had a go at that?
Tell me about it. He
used to be Crown and Anchor, and he started off straight away with it. Crown and Anchor.
Did you ever play it?
Once I did. I said, not in the game at that. If you back that comes up. If you back that comes up.
Do you remember how it was played?
Yes. Dices. They have their dices. And you back. There's Crown, Anchor, and different things. It's a checkerboard, you know, with, I believe it had four fours. Four square before square. And your Crown, Anchor, and so many different things. And you could back which you wanted. And they had two dices in the company, shook them out. And if you got one of them, they paid you out, even money. Very rare. He won every time. I think he had a bank balance. He had out battery funds within a week.
Did you lose much to him?
Not me, no. No, I thought it's a mug's game, that gambling. I'd rather spend it on something.
Did you ever play any other card or gambling game?
Well, you did play cards, but after the first 2 days, you had no money. You see, 5 francs didn't go far. No. So I didn't gamble at all much. I didn't like cards. Because there was also always somebody fiddling. And we call them the wide boys, they were older than us. So I stayed clear of them. But now it was taking place.
What recreations did you have when you were at the Wagon Line?
Oh, if there were a place, a field somewhere, could play football.
So you were still keen on football?
Oh, good, aye. I remember once at Wagon Lines, and we went up a road, and we sat laid on a banking, and all of a sudden, a big motorcade came up, motorcycles and that, flags, flags, and we didn't know, and it was King George V, and we were laid there, and they were coming up past us, on tour, coming up the line, and we're too late, we couldn't stand up. And then another time, we went into field and we're walking, the lad and I, another believer, this jock, walking down, and we saw some goalposts in the field and somebody in goal and others were shooting in it. There were two goalkeepers in, and they're shooting. So we walked up, and this brother in goal threw the ball to me. Oh, and I caught it on the volley and sent it straight back, and he tried to stop it and then knocked him through the goalpost. And he kept trying to me, I was banging it back because I love football. Anyway, he came to me after, he says, "What battery do you belong?" I told him, "B battery." He said, "Do you play football?" I said, "I did before." Anyway, next news, I'm picked for a team.
Which team was
I
that?
I don't know what team it was. It was a local team, and they were playing another match. And I found out, you wouldn't know this.
A local army team?
Yes, a local army team, playing into one another. But they gave me permission to be off that day to go play. So it was all right for me. And I found out later, he was a professional an amateur footballer for Aston Villa, Captain Milne, Dr. Milne. And he was their goalkeeper, I think. And it's him. Then I played one or two matches. And there's a chap here out from Royal Horse Artillery, that team that used to do that drill on tattoos. And we're talking about, I said, "Did you remember Q Battery?" "Oh, yes, in India." I said, "Well, they came to France, near us, and now they picked a football team to play them. Well, we're only small fellas, us. And they were all 6-footers. God, when we went up field and saw all these big ones. Anyway, playing, somebody sent the ball up to me, and I'm just going to head it forward, and this fella come to kick it, and he missed ball and caught me there.
The bridge of the nose.
Bridge of the nose, and closed my eyes for 2 days. God, I'll never forget that.
What position were you playing?
Right wing in those days.
And what level of football was army football? You played club football.
I only had about 2 matches in that. Because we'd moved and we separated again.
Was it good players?
Oh, there's some good players in, yes.
So it was a bit mixed?
Yes, they're all mixed. They picked anybody that could play. If you could kick a ball, you played.
But that was the only organised football you played?
Yes, that was the only
organised. So the rest of the time it was just kickabout?
Kickabout with tin cans. Kicking tin cans, that's it, amongst yourselves.
You didn't have a ball in it?
No, sometimes we got a ball, and sometimes we mostly with tobacco tin, a pound of tobacco, and nobody wanted it, so we played football with it.
And what other recreations would you have?
None.
Would you ever go to, you said a bit earlier you never got a chance to see the French, but did you ever go to, or Belgium, did you go to Estaminets when you were...
Oh, I've been in Estaminets, yes, I've been in, but...
What were they like?
Just like a local pub, but we didn't go for beer or brandy or all like that. The only time we went in, we only had the price of what they call a citron. And it was a goblet and a drop of syrup in and a jug of water. Well, we kept topping it up and drinking it. That's all we had, that's all I ever had in it.
And that wasn't alcoholic then?
No, non-alcoholic. And And another time I remember we'd been on the move and we parked on a seaside. Beautiful bay, lovely. And they decided to take the horses in for a swim. And the instruction was, if the horse wants to roll, let it roll in the sand. And I had a sergeant's horse, I took it, Gladys, to go. She's a lovely mare. And when we got on the sands, she'd just stand and just bumping about her. I'd say, all right, then, wait a minute. I'd get up, and she'd roll down, get down on it, and roll, and have a right good kick. And she'd get up again and shake, and stand there till I got on, and then she'd trot after them.
Then, why did they want to do that?
They like to roll in sand on the backs and that, and get dust for some reason. Don't, then it does them good. They roll on their back and they kick and they go. They have a right good 2 or 3 minutes, and then come back, get up and stand there, shake, and then let you get on.
Would they go in the sea?
So then officers said, took us down right to the seafront and we're to strip off. We had no costumes, or all like trunks, or like, strip off. One man hold two horses while he's stripped off. And then one man would stop out to look after your clothes and that. And then you go and one horse. Follow him. He said, he warned us, he said, be careful. If you feel you're slipping, slip off sideways. Because if you slip off backwards, they'll kick you. Because they're lashing out with their legs like that. And it's, have you seen these rocking horses on a stand where they're going like that? That's a copy of a horse. That's swimming. And we used to go out until he got to where they could. Some wouldn't go and others would. And then they swam, it was lovely. But then they come out and have a good shake. Then you'd hold the horses. Well, other fella went in. And then you'd take it in your turns. Another time, somebody'd hold horses. Well, you went in. And never swim. That was only a bit of pleasure we really had. And I always remember that at one place. Well, there's a chap with me called Reaney, Bert Reaney, and it appears that he was a singer in pubs and clubs before he went in the army. Because we were always singing, if it chanced. And he said to me one night, he said, there must be a lovely seaside place down there, a town. He said, are we to go tonight? I said, yes, if we are, I'm duty. So we're off duty. And we went walking down, and we came to this place like Scarborough. God, this is lovely. And we went in, walking along the tells and that, and they were singing their hats off up in the room. You could hear them up there. So we said, come on, are we to go in the troops? So in we went, and we went up to that room, and they're all troops in, and a fella on the piano on the balcony, on the stage. And a plane, and then when nobody sing, it was still playing. So Bert said, I'm going to give him a song. I said, yes. So he said, come on up one minute. He went up and he said something to this pianist, and they called him, oh, they were going to sing. And do you know, he could sing lovely popular songs. He sung them, he had them all singing. I thought, this is hilarious. Anyway, the time to go, closing time. We ought to have been in our billets. Anyway, when we were coming away, a young lady came up to us, spoke perfect English. She was an English girl. And she asked us, would we like to have a supper? Well, we'd never had a meal for ages. We couldn't refuse that. We went in, they took us in their room, gave us a right slap-up meal. Oh, this is marvellous. Never tasted meat. They're all like that for months. And she said, if you come every night, we'll have drinks free and all the food free. So, right, we'll come in tomorrow night then. And off we went back. Guard were there and the carters coming in. Reported us and we went to the officer. Officer come and said, where have you been? I said, we went for a walk down there and there's a lovely town. We went in. And I had to sing song, right, don't ever go down there again. I said, I'll let it go this time, but don't go again. Now she's on the back. So that was the kiboshes again.
Why not?
No. You wasn't supposed to go away, the civilians.
Did you resent that?
Oh, yes, I resent it. Look at that lovely place, and all of the troops were there. but we weren't allowed to go. Yeah.
Did any of the men get... I mean, you didn't drink a lot, but did any of the men drink?
Oh,
with
yes.
Their families? Yes. Alcohol, I mean.
Oh, yes. What, we had one fella kill himself.
How was that?
Got a bottle of brandy and drunk it all. And killed himself. Don't know why, what did it.
Is it deliberate or accidental?
No, accident. He drunk it all, this brandy. And it was too much for him, I think. Mm. That was well, Carol did that. First we'd drink, but we never got near anywhere as a rule.
Was there much of a problem, I mean, I know you weren't bothered, but was there much of a problem with VD in the battery?
No, I only knew one case of VD, and it was a young lad, an old. It was always rife with it. After he went, we were warned, and so we gave him. We didn't go out, young ones. We stopped him, and this lad, young lad.